Today, we are here to encourage each other. Come on. The Bible says we are to infuse each other with courage to keep on keeping on. And oftentimes, life comes against us, and we don't get infused with the courage that can come from God's word, and we begin to be stalemated, or we don't make progress, or we just become stagnant with our life. And if that describes who you are today, our prayer is that God would elevate your spirit in such a way by speaking into your heart that it would forever change your life. We are underneath the authority of God here at Valorous Church, and we believe that God changes people, he rescues people, and then he turns their life around. He speaks into their life, and he uses them to bring glory to his name throughout the earth. And again, we want you to be a part of that. We hope that God can encourage you if you're already a part of that, and you can keep on keeping on, because life has a way of coming against us. And when life comes against us, we can begin to lose hope in who God says that we can be and become a little bit unstable. I love what the writer in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 12 says. He writes it this way. He says, take a new grip. Everybody say, get a new grip. Come on. He says, take a new grip with your tired hands. And he says, and strengthen your weak knees. In other words, be refreshed in your spirit, because even though it seems like you are facing a lot of difficult moments, God can step into that and begin to do amazing things. So he says, take a new grip with your faith, with your tired hands. You may feel a little tired, but you don't have to live in that tiredness. And he says, your weak knees, you may be a little wobbly with your faith, but you can begin to get your feet back under you. He says, I want to encourage you to keep on keeping on. And so over the next several weeks, we're gonna look at a story in our Bible written by a man named Ezekiel, a man God spoke to. And God spoke to him and gave him four clear visions to deliver to his people who were in a hopeless situation. It was a group of people that had turned their back on God, had begun to not follow God with their life, the Hebrew people, and God allowed calamity to come on them, and he allowed them to be taken into captivity into a foreign land, into Babylon. And as they're in that foreign land, people begin to question about the power of God in their life. People begin to question, you know what, the God who had once showed his powerful hand to these people, and begin to place a lot of doubt in these people's heart about who God was. And so God shows up to one of those captives. His name is Ezekiel, and God gives him four visions for him to deliver, so that the people will understand that their current situation wasn't their final situations if they would turn their hearts back towards God, and God could step in and forever change their life. Now, I've been reading through the book of Ezekiel this week, read through it with my Bible app that reads along with me again this morning. And as I read the book of Ezekiel, a lot of the book of Ezekiel was filled with doom and gloom. And, you know, whenever we read that, it can become depressing in our life. And a lot of your lives are filled with doom and gloom. In other words, your focus is on the problems and the challenges and the difficulties and the things that are happening. And what God does is he speaks to Ezekiel and he says, Ezekiel, though these people are in this state of mind, he says, I need to give you a fresh vision of who I am. I need to give you a fresh vision of what I can do. I need to give you a fresh vision of how I can step in and forever change their life and begin to use them again. And he says, so don't let the doom and gloom shadow or outride who I am. And God wants to speak to you today. And we're going to be looking at these visions over the next several weeks. And in the book of Ezekiel, and we're gonna look at the first one today. So if you have your Bibles, turn to the Old Testament as God speaks to this man about and gives him some visions of how to begin to regain hope in what seems to be hopeless situations. In other words, he says, Ezekiel, here's how you take a new grip. And so if you need to take a new grip on faith today, let these visions begin to encourage you as we look at the first one he gave Ezekiel today. Ezekiel chapter 1, we'll begin with verse 3, and this is what it says. Ezekiel says, the Bible says, the Lord gave this message to Ezekiel, son of Buzi. I love that name. If Kim and I ever have another kid, I'm gonna name him Buzi. Come on, somebody. The Lord gave this message to Ezekiel, the son of Buzi, a priest, beside the Kibar River in the land of the Babylonians. In other words, he gives it to one of the people who had been taken captive into this land. And he felt the hand of the Lord take hold of him. Ezekiel says, as I looked, I saw a great storm coming from the north, driving before it a huge cloud that flashed with lightning and shone with brilliant light. There was fire, he says. I got a vision that there was fire inside the cloud, and in the middle of the fire glowed something like gleaming amber. And then it continues on there in Ezekiel chapter 1, and it begins to describe this image he saw. And this image he saw was a mobile vehicle, and the mobile vehicle he saw, many scholars, if they had studied this mobile vehicle, they said it was a form of kind of a souped up a chariot in this particular day. And so what Ezekiel does is he gets a vision of a storm, and in spite of the storm, there's this vehicle in the storm that is spectacular. It is amazing. And this thing has four living beings that have four faces on each of the living beings. And so this was the most amazing thing that Ezekiel had ever seen with his heart and his eyes. And the Bible says this in Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 12, as it continues. It says that this mobile vehicle and these beings, they went in whatever direction the Spirit chose. And they moved straight forward in any direction without turning around. And so it says that this vehicle moved wherever it wanted to move, however it wanted to move, and whenever it wanted to move. Now remember, God has given Ezekiel a vision so Ezekiel can begin to have a renewed hope, so he can begin to speak into people's life. And so on the vehicle, there was a powerful figure, and that powerful figure was sitting up on top of the vehicle, and over the head of the figure was something that looked like a halo or a rainbow, it says. And then if we continue there in Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 20, it says, the spirit of the living beings was in the wheels. So wherever the spirit went, the wheels of the living beings also went. And when the beings moved, the wheels also moved. And when the beings stopped, the wheels stopped. When the beings flew upward, the wheels rose up, and the spirit of the living beings was in the wheels. In verse 28, it says, all around him, the one who was sitting on this throne on top of everything, it says, all around him was a glowing halo, like a rainbow shining in the clouds on a rainy day. It was like a rainbow shining in the clouds. Though the storm was real, the clouds were real. There was something shining and splendorous in the midst of the clouds. And it goes on to say, this is what Ezekiel says, the glory of the Lord, it looked like to me. The splendor of the Lord, it looked like to me. And when I saw it, he says, I fell face down on the ground and I heard someone's voice speaking to me. And so this is the first vision that God gives Ezekiel, one of the captives, one in the broken state, one of the ones that was in a hopeless situation. God gets this man's Ezekiel's attention and gives him this first vision so Ezekiel can begin to move to people and help them get a new grip with their faith to move forward. And so God gives him a fresh vision of who he is, who God is. And today, this is where we're going to focus. Because some of you need a fresh vision of who your creator is. Some of you need a fresh vision of what the creator of the world can do and who he is and his position in your life. Because something else in life has got you in a state where you feel hopeless, where you feel broken, where you feel like you can't move forward. And if you can just so dare get a fresh vision of who God made you to be and who he is, it can forever change your life. And it can help us all in our journey. Because whenever we're faced with life, we all face difficult days, difficult weeks, and difficult moments. In other words, there's an enemy that wants to hold us back and keep us a captive. And how the enemy begins to do that is make us be like these people who were taken into captivity. He'll begin to make us forget who God is and the blessings he has bestowed on us. See, this is the whole reason these people were taken into captivity. God had blessed them in a powerful way for multitudes of generations. And as God blessed them, he says, what you need to do as I bless you, you need to be a standout to the nations around you of I'm the one that supplies everything for you. And I'm the one that really is the one that sustains you and gives you life and gives you purpose. But the Bible says that they got distracted as they moved about the earth. They began to focus on the stuff the other nations had and took their focus off the blessings God had bestowed on them. I wonder how often that happens in our individual lives and even in our nation's lives. We begin to look around and see what we have or others don't have, and we begin to take our focus off of what God wants to do in us and God wants to do through us with the blessings he already has bestowed upon us. I know it's easy for me to do. It's easy for me to forget the blessor as I begin to live in the blessing. In other words, it's easy for me to forget the one who gave me everything I have in life, and what all of that is to bring him honor and glory. In other words, I can be a lot like the Hebrew people. I can be blessed and then forget. And as I forget, then God's still trying to get my attention and my purpose. And sometimes God may take me in a form of what it seems to be a hopeless situation. And if I'm brought in that hopeless situation, then God so desires for me not to die in that hopeless situation that he shows up and he reinstates vision of who he is, just like he did to Ezekiel, so Ezekiel could give it to those people. In other words, he begins to say, Ezekiel, remember first who I am. I am the all-powerful God. I'm the Most High God. Though there's multitudes of gods and spirits in the spiritual realm, I am above all of those things. I'm above human beings. I'm above all things. I'm the Most High God. And because I'm the Most High God, it means I can go anywhere at any time and do anything I desire to do in any circumstance or any situation. In other words, I'm all powerful. I'm an everywhere at one time God. I can work in every situation. I can work in every situation in this room right now all at the same time. Because it's how powerful I am. And he says, Ezekiel, the people have forgot my authority. They have forgotten my power. They have forgotten who I am. I'm not just a God of goodness. I'm a God of authority. And so we've got to remember he is a God of authority, and he is Lord, and he is mobile. He is God that is not lost in the storm. He is a God that rides above the storm, and he is mobile, and he can do anything in any circumstance and any situation, but we've got to make him Lord. Yes, Jesus is a rescuer. He comes to rescue you in your sin. When you repent of your sin, Jesus died on a cross to rescue you, to restore you back in a right relationship with God. But God also desires for when you are restored in that relationship, that he becomes the authority over your life. The very essence of the word Lord means one that is in all authority over every domain. That's the very essence of the word Lord. It means somebody that's in complete authority in any domain. And so the question is God, your creator, in complete authority in every domain? Is he the Lord of your life? Not like a landlord, but is he the Lord in every area of your life, no matter what circumstance you're in? What he shows Ezekiel is, I am an all-powerful God, and I am Lord in every circumstance, every situation, every dominion, every domain. I am all authority. I am the one that is in all total authority. And until you grab that with your heart, then chances are the storm will be the authority in your life and not God. God is trying to wake up people. And he's trying to say, you know what? In spite of what you see, a storm, get a fresh vision of faith.
Yes, Lord.
In who I am. I am powerful. And I'm a God that can move anywhere, at any time, in any circumstance, any kind of way, I want to move. Ezekiel gets a vision of a mobile vehicle that can move in all directions and move forward in spite of what's going on. And so he's trying to help these people understand that we're in captivity, that I'm not just a God that existed in a temple over in Jerusalem that has been destroyed. No, though the temple has been destroyed, I'm a God that can move into an enemy's domain. Come on, somebody. In an enemy's domain, and I am still God because I am not stuck in a temple over in Jerusalem. I'm the same God that has authority over Babylon. And because I am that God and I have authority over every domain, I can come into what we refer to as the enemy territory, and I can stand in there and I can speak into your life and I can lift you up. Come on. See, that's exactly what Jesus did. Jesus came into the domain that the enemy had, so to say, stolen. And the enemy thought he was the authority over the domain. And Jesus comes in because Jesus is God in the flesh. And he stands in a domain and he touches people's heart. And he says, I can remind them who I am, no matter what domain they're circulating in, and I can bring them back to me. They can turn from their sin, be restored in a relationship, and I can use them in a powerful way. My friends, don't mistake who Jesus is. He is Lord. He is authority. He is over all things. He has authority over death. He has authority over the grave, and he has authority over your situation. But would you so dare believe that he is a God who can be God in all domains? You got to get a fresh vision of who God is. Some of us have made God some kind of Santa Claus or genie. And my friends, I need you to know, he ain't a genie that lives in a bottle. I need you to know, whether he's in a bottle or he's in this room or he's in your broken state of mind, he is still God. Amen. And he can begin to be the authority over the circumstance or situation. He is not Santa Claus. He is not someone we call on just to give us good gifts. Yes, he's the father of all good gifts, and he does give his children good gifts because the Bible says so. But he doesn't only want to give you good gifts. He wants to give you life and give it to the full. And he don't want the enemy to steal the joy that he has placed in your heart. Why in the world would you allow the enemy to keep taking over what God has authority over? God is God in all situations. God is God in the storm. He reminds Ezekiel, no, it feels like my people are in a broken state of mind. I'm a God that can move anywhere at any time. The second thing I wrote down about this fresh vision of who God is that he gives Ezekiel is he gives Ezekiel a vision that he is multifaceted, or let's call it multidimensional. In other words, he can work in numerous situations at the same time. He's not just fixated on one thing. Though he can be fixated on one thing, he can also be fixated at the same time on everything. Look what it says here in Ezekiel chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. From the center of the cloud came four living beings, and they looked like human, and they, living beings that looked human, except each one had four faces and four wings, multidimensional. Each of the human faces in the front, the face of a lion on the right side, the face of an ox on the left side, Ezekiel 1 verses 10 through 12, the face of an eagle on the back. Each had two pairs of outstretched wings, one pair stretched out and touched the wings of the living beings on either side of it, and the other pair covered its body. They went in whatever direction the Spirit chose. They could go anywhere. And they moved straight forward in any direction without turning around. Four faces, multidimensional. Four faces of these beings, four beings. And it says it operated as one going in any direction. A lion, which represents courage, an ox, which represents servanthood or strength, a human, which represents a personal, and an eagle, which represents a leader. These living beings had powerful wings, and they were flashing like lightning. And so what he's doing, he's giving Ezekiel a fresh vision of who God is, but he's saying, I'm a God who is multifaceted. I can do more than one way. I can do things, many things at a time. In other words, I can be a lion and a lamb. I can be a servant and a leader. It's not I have to be a servant or a leader. I can be both at the same time. I can be one of justice and mercy and grace all at the same time because I am God. I'm multifaceted. I can do multiple things at one time. And so when we begin to understand God is a multifaceted God, we don't get stuck in a situation and begin to think that situation is all there is. See, that's where we get in life. This is what paralyzes us. Has it ever occurred that the situation could be occurring, but God could be working all at the same time? Amen. In other words, he could be working in your situation. I remember whenever my wife and I finished seminary and we moved off to start a church many, many years ago. And it was before we started a church, we actually decided to go try out at some churches and think about going to a church. And, you know, that's what you did in that particular day and age, went and just preached to a bunch of people to see if they wanted you to be their preacher or whatever else. And of course, you know, everybody was saying no. And so I decided that I would go to work for some people and began to do, it was night work in Walmart parking lots. And I was working for this company in Walmart parking lots. What I was doing, I was bringing actually parking spaces up to ADA compliancy so people could get out of their vehicle, you know, people who had a disability could get out of their vehicle and make it to the store without a lot of hassle or whatever else. And so my assignment was to go bring these parking lots up to ADA compliancy. And it was at night, and people were mean. And I was thinking, God, I thought you called me into ministry, and here I am in a parking lot with mean people. God's like, I'm working. I'm working out your purpose. You just don't see it. But me, and I'm thinking it's punishment because I'm going, God, I'm here in the parking lot and little old ladies are getting out of their car and they're screaming at me because I've taken up their place and I'm trying to help them. They're cussing me out. And they're telling me I'm taking their space and they're calling management and they're doing all, and I mean, they're just out of control. And little did I see it as God was working.
Amen.
Because I could only see one dimension at a time. God could see it as preparation.
Amen.
I saw it as punishment. But God, in my what I was referring to as punishment, was preparing me for what I was going to do. Because let me tell you something. If you're going to lead in a church, you're going to get resistance. You're going to get pushback. If you're trying to help people, like I was trying to help those little ladies get a better spot to park in, they're going to think you're the enemy. Instead of someone that's trying to call out the problem so that they can step forward as the solution, they'll begin to say you're the enemy of their soul instead of you being one that is empowered by God to help them move out of the slumber. And so what God was doing during what I thought was punishment was actually preparing me for what would happen as I began to lead his church.
Amen.
Now, a lot of people would say, yeah, that's crazy thinking. But see, I thought when I come out of seminary, I was ready to move into a place of shepherding a church. And God's like, no, I got to prepare you for some things before you get over there. I'm a multifaceted God, and I can prepare you to do greater things, and I can prepare you to do incredible things in your life. And I'm working all things to the good of those who love me and are called according to my purpose. And everything that comes against you isn't always God working against you. It's actually God working for you.
Amen.
Let me say this. The people were in captivity in Babylon because they had disobeyed God. They had forgotten the blessor. They had forgotten the one that gave them the blessing. However, you know what? God puts them in a state so they will wake up and recognize his greatness again and begin to live by it. And so God wasn't against them by putting them in captivity. God was actually for them. And I need you to know today, God's for you too. It may feel like God put you in something, but maybe it's God's way of getting you in such a state of mind to recognize who he is. He's a multifaceted God, and he can work in the circumstance, in the situation. He can speak into your life. He can begin to get your attention again so that you can come back to him to do amazing things with your life. Because the whole message of Ezekiel, again, it seems like doom and gloom, and it's God reminding the people of why they're in captivity. He's reminding them of what's going on. And you're like, oh, that sucks. In other words, God is reminding them that you've sinned against me. And the only reason I'm coming to get you is for my name's sake. In other words, I made a promise and I'm gonna stand by that promise. And God is amazing. He's multifaceted, and he can work in a situation and a circumstance. But most of us, you know, we continue to stay in the slumber, and we miss the greatness of God, which leads me to the last thing. And, you know, God is an amazing God. He is a God of diversity. I think a lot of times we have a hard time seeing that. In other words, I really think that's why he calls the church the body of Christ. It's because you and I, we're not like God in the fact that we can each be individual gods and we can do all things ourselves, but what God does is he gives each one of us a special gift so we can help each other and we can begin to display his glory to the earth around us. Otherwise, we can put those gifts together and do something great. And see, so many people look at God just through one lens, one dimensional. He's the God that I think of in my mind where God puts a picture of himself throughout scripture. And he says, no, I'm multifaceted. I'm multidimensional. I'm very diverse and I can do a lot of things, a lot of different ways. And what we do is reduce God down to this one kind of way. And instead of looking at him through the lens of who he says he is, he's a God who can work in situations. He's a God who's on a rescue mission for humanity. That's the last thing I wrote down, is he's a rescuer. See, we got to learn to see him as a rescuer. Look what it says, Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 4. Ezekiel says, as I saw a great storm, as I saw a great storm coming from the north, driving before it a huge cloud that flashed with lightning and shone with a brilliant light. Ezekiel said he saw a great storm, but he also saw a magnificent God in spite of the storm. And that's exactly what the thousands of people who were in captivity needed to see. They needed to see a rescuer. Amen. And see, that's how what many of people need to see today too. It's God as a rescue. That the storms of life are great. They are real. But he is a God who is all powerful, all knowing, everywhere at one time. He knows exactly where you are. And as he knows where you are, he also knows where you are. He knows where the people's heart is in Cuba, where our mission team just got back from. He knows where the hearts of people are in Africa today. He knows where the hearts of people are in Asia today. He knows where the hearts of people are throughout the earth today. He knows where the hearts of people are. He is all-knowing, all-powerful, everywhere at one time. He knows that people are going through different storms. But he's still God in the storm. And he's a God that will come to the rescue if you will learn to look at him through the lens that he desires for you to look at him in. Is he Lord? Is he Savior? Is he Rescuer? See, the whole reason God sent Jesus to this earth 2,000 years ago in the form of a human is God in the flesh was to show humanity, humanity in the past and humanity still in the future, to show all humanity that he could step into any domain and still be God. He could step into the territory of this earth and still be God. He is God in the heavens. He's God on the earth. He is God over all. He is God through all. And he is God in all. He is the God who will come to you in the middle of the storm. He sees every vision. He sees every detail all at the same time. The Bible says he numbered the hairs on your head. The Bible says, you know what, that he can see all things in front of you. He can see all things behind you. And he still comes to you to rescue you and take you forward. You need to know what the cross of Jesus is all about. The cross of Jesus is God on a rescue mission. God telling people, you need to turn from your sin, your waywardness, your hopelessness. And you need to trust in me, a good God, who can come into any domain, work in any situation, above any storm, renew your heart, renew your purpose, bring you back to me so that you have life that will flow richly forever and ever and ever. My friend, this isn't just some religious message. This is a message to humanity about how to reconnect to God and our purpose. My friend, God needs you to get a fresh vision of who he is. Sometimes we think something in our culture is God. We think some nationality is God. We think some problem is God. And God says, no, I'm the creator, the authority, the Lord over all, the Lord in all, and the Lord that works through all. I'm mobile. I can work in any circumstance or any situation if you will turn your heart back towards me. My friend, this is why the Bible says repent. Turn away from your sinful way. Turn your heart towards God, the one who came to die on a cross, showed great love for humanity, and come underneath his authority and begin to let him speak into your life and coach your life and move it forward. What does it mean to make Jesus Savior and Lord? It means to trust the forgiveness that he offered all humanity for sin. And it means to get under his authority and begin to follow in your life. It doesn't mean you're going to be perfect. But what it does mean is he will be working out the imperfections and putting in a new heart and a new life so you can move forward with your purpose. And my friend, the only way this begins to happen is for you to get a fresh vision of who God is. So today, as God spoke to Ezekiel, so Ezekiel could speak to the people that were in captivity, I pray God speaks to you through the same vision and lets you know that he is greater than any storm you are going through. Let me pray for you today. God, you're an amazing God. I thank you for the hearts of people. God, I thank you so much for being multidimensional. God, being a God that can move anywhere at any time. God, as you look around this room today, as your eyes explore the hearts of men, women, boys, and girls, God, you know exactly what storm each seeks. Every person behind that camera on the internet, you know exactly what they're facing in life. So God, I pray today that they would first and foremost, not just look at the storm or look at the situation, but begin to look at your greatness, the one who rides above the storm, the one who is over all. And God, you would speak into their hearts and life. But you begin to let them know, God, today is the day that they can begin to turn their heart towards you and recognize who you are. And God, you can speak into their life and change their forever. God, you're not a God of doom and gloom. You're a God of justice. And God, we have, as human beings, have put ourselves in this situation, and you've given us something we don't deserve, and it's life through Christ. God, I pray you would wake up souls today. By faith, God, they would trust what Christ has done and make that reconnection to you. God, you're all powerful. You're all knowing. May your spirit move wherever it desires to move. However it desires to move in the hearts of people. And God, may they come alive today in Christ Jesus. And we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.